Stephen started with a joke. This wasn't in my script, although it was at 8 o'clock, so I thought I should put a joke in as well. Leviticus 19, love your neighbour as yourself. Luke chapter 6, love your enemies. They're hard teachings, aren't they? So there's a joke about a preacher who was preaching on those passages, the ones that we come to today. And he'd been preaching for 25 minutes and telling people you must love your enemies as God has loved you. And after the end of his sermon, he says, right, hands up those who are prepared to love their enemies like this. Pretty direct, isn't it? I've got to try it. And about half the hands went up. And he said, it's not good enough. So he harangued them for another 15 minutes. And at the end of that, he said, how many people are prepared to love your enemies like that? About 80%. It's still not good enough. Another 10 minutes, he carried on. By then, everybody's thinking it's lunchtime. I just want to go home. I'll say yes to anything. So he says, how many people are prepared to love their enemies like this? Everybody's hand went up, except the little old lady up the back. He said, Mrs. Jones, are you prepared to love your enemies like this?
No.
Mrs. Jones, don't you have any enemies?
No.
Mr. Jones, how old are you?
93.
Mr. Jones, can you tell me, can you come down the front and tell us how a 93-year-old doesn't have any enemies?
Mrs. Jones slowly makes her way down the front. Turning around, she says, it's easy. I just outlived all those cows.
May not quite be the love that Jesus is talking about. Someone said to me, maybe you can integrate some reflections on what happened this week into your sermon. I thought, well, maybe I can and maybe I can't. I'm going to try. We'll see how we go. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful, as we've reflected already this morning, for the good things out of disaster. And as we come now to think about your word, we come with so many things on our heart and going through our heads about TARPs and insurance assessors and loss and damage. And we ask in your mercy that you would just help us to pause and to take stock and to think about you and what you ask us to do. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it has been a strange few days, hasn't it? Here are some of the photos of carols. The first one on the left is Melinda's photo taken from under a table, under a gazebo at the GFS stall, looking out at a field of hailstones, really. I was up in the clubhouse for some bizarre reason. I'd managed to get up there. And it was like watching something from, the plagues on Egypt, really. It was like looking up and it was like just a rainstorm of hail. It was just awful. So that's what it was like if you weren't there. A friend of ours lives just across in Warina Street there and just looked out and a field of white. And then in the Herald, a photo taken from above of one of the streets in Barara Heights. Really, it's Tent City or Tarp City. Someone told me up on the roundabout up at Barara Heights, it's now called Tarpaulin Heights rather than Barara Heights. Someone said, the SES said, almost 100% of houses have got tarps on them. I know it's almost, but not quite. But if that's one of your houses, we are just thankful that you're here and that you're all right. And some of the stories of people showing love to others is just amazing. So it's just a disaster, isn't it? Recovery, well, it will take months, if not longer. People are still getting over the shock. I think, Friday morning, people were just stunned. Just needed somewhere to go and hang and chat and debrief and just tell their stories. And we're hoping that tonight will be an opportunity for people to do that too. We're going to have time before and afterwards just to sit. If people want to be prayed for, we can pray with them as well. And just give that message of hope and of joy. And you sort of think, well, how do we make sense of it all? In some ways, of course, you can't. We don't have all of the answers. But there are some things that we can say from God's word. We know that we live in a fallen world. Things happen. Because of our sin, The sin of Adam and Eve created a world which is fallen. And Paul says in Romans 8, we know that the whole creation has been groaning together with labour pains until now. The effects of our sin are experienced in the natural world. It's the way God has made it. And so in our sinful world, our fallen world, these sort of things happen. I take it that in the new heavens and the new earth, there will be no more hailstorms. Bring it on. Come, Lord Jesus. But in this world, they do happen, don't they? But we need to remember that Jesus is in control. Matthew 28, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Jesus has control over everything that happens. Absolute, ultimate control. We prayed, lots of people prayed, Lord, please may the carols go ahead. Even when the storm was threatening, Lord, please send it away. And he didn't. I don't know why, but I know the God who knows why. And he calls me to trust him. Because God is good. We must not think that God is malicious or evil. We need to remember that our God is compassionate and merciful. And some of the good things that we've shared this morning remind us of that. It could have been so much worse. If it had happened at 7:30, when 2,000 people are on that oval with little kids, it would have been just devastating in terms of injury. And we know that God works for the good of his people. We need to remember these things. Romans 8, my favourite verse. We know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, those who are called according to his purpose. We may not see the good. We may not think that the good that God has in store is the good that we want. Our idea of good is completely different most of the time. And so we need to hear the words of Scripture, don't we? That God works good for those who love him. And he does. And we know that God wants people to hear about Jesus and be saved. 1 Timothy 2, God wants everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And it seemed to me and to many of us that Thursday night was an opportunity for people to hear the good news about Jesus. But God had other plans. We don't know why, but we will continue to proclaim the gospel. Tonight, tomorrow night, Tuesday morning, every Sunday. Because that's how God works. But sometimes it seems to me that love may be the key to people hearing the gospel. And I just wonder if that's the case for us now. We are thankful that we have opportunities to show God's love in ways that we wouldn't have had before. And you and many from our community, our Christian community, have stepped up and shown God's love in remarkable ways. Some of our builders from our congregation and our handymen were on the phone Friday morning or at people's places just getting into it. On Friday, what day is it? Sunday. Friday night. Friday during the day, Joe Anselin rang me and said, maybe we could, you know, offer sausage sandwiches, sort of like Bunnings does on Saturday morning. And we sort of had a chat about it and thought, well, the bread will probably go off. If you like stale bread, there's lots out there. But we thought, well, why not do it tonight, Friday night? So we put the call out at, I don't know, Cecilia, 1:30, something like that. 20 people came and helped us do that. We got through, we think, about 500 sausage sandwiches. Which is pretty amazing, isn't it? So thank you for being part of that. It was just a little way that we can help, and so many people appreciated it, which is great. Let us love because love comes from God. Non-Christians, of course, show love as well. It's part of being made in the image of God, that we have a capacity to love. And as Christians, we want to say we want to be on the front foot doing that as well, and not just leave it to others. And I think that we've done that and continue to do that. So in Luke chapter 6, that's the sort of love Jesus talks about, isn't it? The so-called golden rule. As you want others to do for you, do the same for them. No ifs, no buts, no, well, look, I'll do it for you if you help me do this. Let's just do it. And our world so often lives by different rules, doesn't it? I'll do it for you if you help me first, or I'll do it for you if it's good for me. But Jesus doesn't give us that out. As you want others to do for you, do it for them. And Jesus is talking here in Luke 6 to his disciples, not his apostles, not just the 12, but everybody who is following him. And if you read the passage again that Alison read to us, notice the preponderance of you. Jesus is talking you. That's us, his followers. This is what he says our love is to be like, even for those you don't like. This is where it gets hard. Love your enemies. You know those people, as soon as I say that, that you think of, that pop into your mind? The people you think, gee, I wish they weren't part of my life. Gee, I wish they'd move away, preferably to England or somewhere. They need lots of bad people over there. The people who really get under your skin. You know who it is. Jesus says, love them. Do what is good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone hits you on the cheek, offer the other also. If anyone takes away your coat, don't hold back your shirt either. Give to everyone who asks you, and from one who takes your things, don't ask for them back. It is radical love. Our world shows love, but not this sort of love. Not love that doesn't seek anything back, not as often as Christians should. Because if you just love people who love you, Jesus says, well, what credit is that to you? If you do good to people who do good to you, well, what credit is that to you? If you lend to those from whom you expect to be received, well, what? It's no different. We are called to be different. Like God, who is gracious to the ungrateful and evil. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. And that's what God wants his people to be like. We are really his children. If you're a follower of Jesus, he says you've been born again. We actually have a new spiritual DNA. That's what the blue thing is. You know how you see family resemblances? You meet someone and their child or their parent, you think, you've got to be from the same family. You know, you can just see it in their face or the shape of their head or their height or something. But it's not just physical, it's character, isn't it? You know, kids learn from their parents, for better or worse. We bear the DNA of God. And the DNA of God is love. God is love. It's not just God loves, it's not just that God shows love, it is that God is at the very heart, the core of God, his nature is love, and we share it. Christians now have a DNA of love, and Jesus said, so show it. And what is love like? God shows his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were opposed to him, while we were his enemies, while we didn't want anything to do with him, God showed us love in the death of Jesus. That is the sort of love that Christians are to show. Because that's our DNA now. It's that Greek word agape. It's a self-sacrificing love. It's a proactive love. It's a seek the good of the other despite what it costs you love. And I think that's really different most of the time for most people. God is love, and if we're followers of Jesus, he calls us to show that love as well. And I think to look for it. Not just wait till somebody's in need, and they come and ask you, I'd actually be proactive. That person that I don't like very much, how can I show love to them? And Christmas is a great time to show love, isn't it? That might actually point to Jesus. One of the ladies after 8 o'clock was saying to me, you know, there's a branch of our family that we haven't really talked for 50 years. But she took the opportunity a few days ago and God provided an occasion where they actually engaged. Pray. Ask God, God, you want me to show love. How can I do that? And change me to actually want to do it as well. I think that's my problem anyway. I don't want to do it. We showed love. It was great. You know, the fire is in the SES, and you've showed love in all sorts of ways. It's been a good opportunity to do it, but don't let it stop. You know, we want to keep doing it more and more. Jesus says one of the characteristics of his disciples are that we love people, and the other one is that we learn from people who are good teachers. As Alison read, that idea of blind guides. And you say, I don't want a blind guide. I need to keep growing as a Christian. I need to keep learning as a Christian. I need to keep learning what it is to follow Jesus even now that I'm 50-something and 60-something and 70-something and 80-something. You don't stop growing more like Jesus. And we need people to help us do that. And so Jesus in that last part says, make sure you pick good people. People who are following Jesus. Because a disciple is not above his teacher. Mr. Dodd will already affirm this, won't he? Everyone who is fully trained will be like his teacher. BCS are producing a whole series of Little Mr. Dodds. Isn't that wonderful? In character, not looks. But don't find a teacher who is judgmental, who is condemnatory, who is unforgiving. We want people who will guide us and model for us and teach us and help us, who are like Jesus. Do not judge doesn't mean never be discerning. Because Jesus says be discerning about who teaches you. It's just being not judgmental in our hearts, but rather to be loving in our hearts. So his parable, can the blind guide the blind? Of course they can't. They both fall into a pit. So we need to be careful who we learn from. And sometimes, it brings me back to the events of this week, sometimes we learn through the hardships of life. See, if life was always easy, we would never learn or understand what it means to be patient, to persevere, to have endurance. And Hebrews tells us that Jesus, even Jesus, the perfect Son of God, was made perfect through suffering. So if it's good enough for Jesus, I guess it's good enough for me, isn't it? I don't like it, but I need to have that biblical perspective. So I want to ask you, finally, are you an icicle or a water trickle? Think of icicles. Okay, the snow falls, hangs on the house, the weather warms up, and the water slowly starts trickling down. And then in the evening it gets cold again, and the water stops. And then the next day, some more water comes, and then it stops, and the icicle gets thicker and stronger, even through the effects of severe cold, so that it can hang on. But if it didn't have the cold, it would just all ebb away. And I think it's a bit like our faith. We need to say, are we going to be icicles, learning through the difficult times of life, growing stronger in our faith, because of those things, because that's what God uses for us? Or are you going to be the water trickle that sort of just ebbs away and never gets any stronger? Jesus wants us to grow as his followers, to show love, to learn from what God is doing in us. It's hard sometimes, yet, but God is good and loving, and we need to remember that. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for the words of Jesus, and we thank you for the life of Jesus, and we thank you for his death for us. We thank you for this unfathomable evidence of your love, that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. While we were your enemies, you showed us extraordinary love. And we thank you that being born again by faith in Jesus, we now have that DNA of love. And we pray that you would help us to put aside our self-centeredness. We pray that you would forgive us for those times where we continue to not love as we have been loved. We ask that you would help us to be different, that we would glorify Jesus and be more like him in a world which so desperately needs him. And we ask it in his name. Amen.